Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We've added to our lineup of lively, thought-provoking shows. Be sure to check out The Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, featuring Firefly Willow's LIVE favorite, Heisey Lutmers, and his co-host, Charlie Harrington, on the second Tuesday evening each month. More than just a call-in show, Heisey and Charlie will bring a new and unusual perspective to the power and capacities of the Tarot. Also join us for A Shamanic Life, hosted by John Carosella. On the first and third Tuesdays each month at 8 p.m., John will bring together leaders and explorers in neo-shamanism. Practical and practiced, his guests are not just doing shamanism, they're living it. And don't miss What's Your Prescription for Balance with Mildred Lynn McDonald and her co-host, Dr. Glenna Calder, the first Thursday evening of each month. They'll inspire you with the leading trends and best practices of holistic living, alternative medicine, and life coaching. This vibrant duo and their amazing guests will help you energize and balance your life from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. We're excited. Give us a listen as we continue to create new and entertaining ways for you to shine your inner light. Join us at Firefly Willows LIVE Presents for these new shows and our original Sunday morning Firefly Willows LIVE anchor shows. Firefly Willows LIVE Presents Healing Conversations, featuring your host, Mildred Lynn McDonald.
Welcome, everybody. This is Mildred Lynn McDonald, your host for Healing Conversations, and we have a very intriguing topic for our roundtable. I'd like to welcome my co-hosts, John Carosella.
Good morning.
Deb Carosella.
Good morning.
And Heisey Lutmers.
Hello.
I'd like to throw out to John and Deb and Heisey a question about discernment and invite them to share with us where they get their information, what is their trusted source of information or trusted sources of information, and what characteristics, why is this a trusted source of information? So anybody want to jump right in there?
Mildred Lynn, this is an interesting problem, a dilemma for people today. And what makes it really complex is the fact that the internet is such a huge source of information. There's so much accessible through the internet. You know, it used to be we'd have our three major television channels and the New York Times and your local newspaper. And that's where we got our information. But that's not true anymore. The diversity of sources of information has exploded. Primarily, it's accessible through the internet. And the ownership of the traditional media sources has been consolidating more and more. So there's fewer and fewer independent voices in traditional media. And there's more and more recirculation of content that happens over the internet. You know, I have a lot of opinions, and I have an activist bent, and I want to share important things with the folks who are connected to me. So I find that I feel obligated to not just take an issue and post it and share it, but go back to the original source materials before I do that. I feel like you have to actually not take what some blogger said as true, not take what some promotional site or some cause site has said to be true, but actually look at what they're saying, find out the source, go read the legislation, for example.
Well, that sounds like fun, John.
It's not fun. It's not fun. It's a drag, right? But see, this is what happens is if you don't do that, you run the risk of absorbing information that is really based on other people's opinions and other people's agendas. You know, the media is no longer about providing information. The media is about generating profit. You know, news organizations, investigative reporting has been so slashed and dumbed down. And now it's all about, can you capture the readers to pay the to make it worth the advertiser's money? Mm-hmm. And it's become a profit instrument. It's no longer an institution that's trying to serve.
So, John, if I was to ask you, what is your trusted source? Or where do you go to get your information? You shared that you go to... You dig down as deep as you can.
Right.
And you're not afraid to go to the legislation.
No, right. So the vehicle is, generally speaking, is the internet, mm-hmm. right? But there's no single source on the internet that is reliable. So, I mean, the Huffington Post is something that I get their news feed. You know, I watch The Daily Show because Jon Stewart has always got some contemporary topic that is relevant. And I have, you know, I have my my newsletters that I receive about organic foods and, you know, human rights and things like that. And there are some things that I trust, like I trust Amnesty International. I have such a strong bias in favor of organic foods that I don't really need to do primary research on the value of organics. But when there's an issue related to legislation about organics, I feel like I have to go find, you know, get closer to the source material, or if a legislator has said something about organics. I can't just take somebody's word for it that, you know, what they meant and what they said is being represented fairly. I have to actually go listen myself.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, Deb, I know you have a different take on this question.
Most of the time, if anything major is going on, I learn of it from friends and from family. And at one point, that meant someone would call me on the phone, or I would get an email from someone. But right now, most of my information comes through Facebook or text messaging or something like that. Or email. Someone will send me something specific saying, oh, did you hear about, or someone posts something on Facebook about a current event or something that's going on in the media or something that's happening locally in their area. And then I get intrigued or I get involved about wanting to know more about that particular issue. And I might do a Google search on it. I might want to say, you know, it's like, oh, well, something happened in such and such a place. What was that thing that happened? And I'll do a Google search. And then, of course, when you do a Google search, multiple streams of information come up, and I will click through them and see, well, this is talking about it from this perspective. That's talking about this particular thing from this perspective. These guys are talking about it, but they're, in my opinion, way, way, way off the wall kind of attitude on it, and I'm not really interested in that. So I do some discernment and some choosing on a very surface level. And most of the time, I'm satisfied with that level of investiture in what's happening, in what's going on, and how I feel about it. And then I have a tendency to let it go, and I move on with my life.
Okay.
So this is an excellent question, and it's an excellent thing for people to think about because, as John mentioned, you're bombarded with information from so many places now that understanding where you're getting the information from and who has the agenda behind it, I think, is really, really important for most people. I just am one of those individuals that is very happy to stay a little bit to the sidelines.
So it sounds like the amount of energy that you are interested in investing in discernment is directly proportional to the relevance of the topic in your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And very well said.
Yeah, and that's...
Yeah, that's just kind of how I go.
That's how you roll.
That's how I roll.
You know, that's a think global, act local kind of attitude in the extreme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you for putting it so much more succinctly.
Yes, Deb is one of my trusted sources for information because I know if I do see something from Deb on Facebook, I know her heart and her head are behind it. What about you, Hi-C?
Well, I'm probably very different than Deb in the sense that I'm an information junkie. And so I probably subscribe to 80 to 90 blogs and, you know, check Facebook a few times a day. And then there's other websites that I look at. And I always want to make sure that I'm current on what's going on in the world. But when I do check those things, I try to make sure that I don't just have things that represent one particular perspective or bias or belief system. versus even if it's opposite of what my particular belief or stance might be, I try to look at or listen to things that represent the opposite perspective and viewpoint, just so I can hear how other people are perceiving things and talking about things and presenting things. If I read things that are more of like an aggregate kind of place, like Huffington Post or Gawker, which is really just a report on somebody else's report on something, I will read that to see what maybe is a current topic or issue that's going on, but then I'll try to seek out the source places. So if they say that a particular person said something on their talk show, you know, they may just quote one line or put their particular spin on it, but then I'll go to that person's talk show, even if it's somebody that's very much different than what I might stand for, and will try to either look at what they've posted on their website or try to listen to an audio portion that has that, what they said in it, but try to hear it in the context they said it, because so much gets taken and either edited or taken out of context, and then a controversy is made around it, when if you listen to the whole thing, it's kind of like, well, it's pretty obvious that's not really what they meant. And sometimes it is, and you're just like, wow, I can't believe they said that. But I try to make sure I've at least explored the different perspectives. I also watch and listen to news programs from other countries, particularly France for me, but also other places, because hearing that outside perspective is very interesting, both the approach they take or perspective they have on a particular story, as well as, especially if it's something that is, involves America, their perspective on America and America's involvement in it can be very different than what we tend to get, even what we think is the most neutral sources in our country. You still realize there's an underlying, oftentimes nationalistic or patriotic kind of current that just feeds into being from someplace. So I try to just make sure I'm taking it in from many perspectives, and then forming, for me, like in Buddhism, you have what's called the middle path. You don't go to extremes on either side. So I try to come to my own middle path of understanding by hearing both sides of the extreme, and then coming to my own place of where is the meeting point for those two extreme perspectives, which may be closer to what the truth could be, rather than one extreme side or the other really being the truth. Yeah. And for me, that means not living in a bubble and only getting my source from one place, or from only those people or places that represent my particular belief or perspective or standpoint, but taking in all sides so that I don't isolate my own thinking and then start to become circular in my thinking, because I just get fed what I already think. And so it just reinforces thinking that way rather than being challenged in my thinking or belief.
Yeah, then you start to hardwire your brain, and then that's all you see.
Right.
Now, I do have a question to throw out there. Do you perceive yourselves as a trusted source?
I wouldn't necessarily have come to that conclusion about myself. I don't think of myself as a place where I'm actually trying to influence others. I do realize that there is a responsibility when one takes a stand, when one takes a point of view and put your opinion out there for the public to then see and receive, that you are being an influence. You are perhaps presenting something for others to think about. I usually come from a place of, this is something that I found of interest. This is something that I have found moved me, and I hope that maybe others would be also interested and moved to find out more about it.
What about you, John, or High C? Do you guys view yourselves as a trusted source?
I do. One, because I feel like I do make the attempt to get all of those various perspectives on something rather than only just from one particular perspective or source. Two, even when I post things like on Facebook, now somebody could probably see what issues and things are important to me based on the kinds of stories and things that I post on Facebook, but I will post them without comment. So I don't try to color someone's thinking or perception versus I just post the story and then allow them to come to their own understanding, conclusion, perspective on that particular issue or story themselves rather than me having colored it with biased language or influential language, you know, can you believe this stupid person says that is, and even that can immediately bias someone before they read the story that already this person's going to be stupid, so I'm going to read it from that way. And I don't put commentary on it. Finally, I also do trust myself as a source because for me, the ultimate filter is my own intuition. So whenever I hear something or read something, I always go to how does that feel for me or how does that resonate for me? And regardless of whether it would be somebody that I would normally agree with or not, if it doesn't feel right, then I'm not afraid to say I'm not in agreement with that. I don't have to be in agreement with that just because normally we see the same way. So filtering it through my own intuition, I think also makes it or makes me a trusted source simply because I'm only putting information out there that I feel has resonated for me on a deeper level as feeling like it's truth or truthful rather than just parroting or mimicking what somebody else has said or told me to believe or standpoint to take on a particular issue.
Yeah, that's great, Heisi. I know I always read what you post because I know you go through rigor. You go through an intellectual and heart-centered rigor before you put anything out there. So thank you for doing that. And I'm sure many other people read what you put out there too. How about you, John?
I think I'm getting better at being a trusted source. It wasn't that long ago that I would just rail against topics and I would fall into the rhetoric grinder. And I don't actually think that that's as helpful as when I post with questions, with invitations for people to get involved. I still do take positions. Unlike Heisi, I will post with a position. And normally I try to make sure that the position is defensible based on some primary research. But you know, there's an interesting question here, which is a trusted source for what? You can trust that I will bring issues to your attention that I feel strongly about. You can trust that there's a reason that I feel strongly about them. Whether I'm right is, you know, not something I can guarantee, but it is something that it usually is something that I feel strongly about. In a way, everybody is a trusted source for the things that they, for the nature of the person that they are, right? Most folks will post in a way that reflects who they are. So the better you know them, the more you can understand and discern how to receive what they're sharing.
On that note, I feel that we have a wonderful opportunity to continue our conversation on a later show.
And online.
Excellent idea. So if anybody would like to talk about this a little bit more, please go to the Firefly Willows Live page on Facebook. John will be there.
Well, that's our roundtable for this week. Many thanks to Mildred Lynn McDonald and participants Deb and John Carosella and Heisi Lutmers. We hope you found this roundtable discussion engaging and thought-provoking. If you would like to join the conversation, visit facebook.com/fireflywillows and add your comment under this week's roundtable post. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Mildred Lynn McDonald, and I'm your host for Healing Conversations, live from Los Altos, California. Thank you for joining us today. Have you ever toyed with the idea of stepping away from your day job to travel and explore new frontiers? If yes, you'll love our chat with Silicon Valley engineer and adventurer Bill Webster as he talks about his life-changing six-week motorcycle tour of Africa. What did he learn? How was his appetite for life renewed? What will he do next? It's sure to be a lively discussion. A little later in the show, we'll go on a fascinating tour of the inner world with Northern California's Caressa DeRosa. She's a natural-born psychic who uses her intuitive gifts to help people remember who they really are through the sacred language of truth and humor, metaphors and images, auras and chakras, past lives, and future self. As a special treat, Caressa is making herself available to our listeners today. So if you would like a live reading, please call our studio at 646-716-5510. So that's 646-716-5510. And we'll do our very best to make sure that we answer as many live reading requests as possible. And now, without further ado, let's welcome the personable and entertaining Bill Webster. Bill has gone on an amazing trip to Africa. Why Africa?
Wow. Why Africa? That's a really good question. I think Africa has always been one of those dream destinations for me. In fact, I had been saving Africa for my honeymoon. I'm going to have a future bride, as you can probably tell by that. I'm not married. So let's just say that didn't work out so far. Turned 40-something.
40-something?
You know, 41. And I was like thinking, well, there's no better time than this. It doesn't seem like it's getting any closer. And so I fell into this idea from a TV series, the BBC, and it's called Long Way Down. And it's about two friends, and they're bikers, and they took a trip from the tip of Scotland to the Cape of Good Hope. The stars are two great guys, one of them named Charlie Borman and the other one named his good friend Ewan McGregor. And so Charlie and Ewan, and I followed them on this little TV series. And so I went to check out Charlie's homepage just for fun to see what he was up to. And it noticed and it says, hey, come ride with me in Africa. And I looked at it and I went, what, really? And so after a few emails, I was hooked and decided to take the trip. The fact that he was going to be there, he's such a warm and friendly person. And I figured if there's anybody that could do this and help me out with it, it would be him. And the itinerary was quite amazing, you know, starting at Cape Town, South Africa, heading up the Atlantic coast on the left side, if you look at a map, into the Skeleton Coast of Namibia. And then from there, headed east through the Namib Desert into Damaraland, Etosha National Park, across the Caprivi Strip into Zambia. Zambia is just a fantastic country. And then few days rest in Livingston, where the gorgeous Victoria Falls and the Zambezi River is. Left Zambia and went over more towards the Indian Ocean to the capital, Lusaka, and this park, beautiful park called South Luanga National Park, where we saw tons of beautiful animals, leopards and lions and, you know, all the big five. And then onward into Malawi. Lake Malawi is just fantastic. Beautiful, calm lake, just huge. And then entered Mozambique, gorgeous, filled with interesting people and sights. And then, yes, the Indian Ocean, so from the Atlantic over to the Indian Ocean. And then we took the journey back down and through the capital of Mozambique, Maputo, and into Johannesburg for the trip home. You know, overall, it was 10,000 kilometers, and most of it on dirt roads, and it took about 6 weeks.
And most of it, if not all, on your motorcycle.
My motorcycle.
A little point that you forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah.
Ewan McGregor, is that the actor?
Yeah.
So what was it when you went to the page and you looked at
come right across Africa with us. What is it that hit you?
Oh, I think it was a combination of a sense of adventure and, you know, the warmth. I think that the page has a certain warmth and discovery that goes with it. And when I looked at it and I saw some of the pictures, I thought, wow, this has got to be a life-changing trip. So I contacted them. They were quite friendly and helpful. So, yeah, it was really, really well done as well. I'd highly recommend it if you're a bike rider out there.
And it sounds like you decided to go on a honeymoon with yourself.
I did, yeah. I couldn't figure out a way to convince anybody to go with me, so I had to go by myself. No, I mean, I didn't know anyone. I think that was probably some of the magic of the trip, showing up with 30 people you don't know. And, you know, I'm a pretty friendly person, so being able to get along with 30 other people that you've never met before, and in the meantime, journeying from destination to destination was exciting, fun. It was really great.
Bill, when we spoke before, I got the impression that the Bill Wester that left for Africa and the Bill Wester who returned from Africa are two different people. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what happened to you over there?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think you're right, obviously. I mean, you've witnessed it. So there is a sense inside of me that something is different now. So when I was in Africa, you know, something happened to me, and it did truly change me deep inside, even though from the outside I may look the same. Inside, there's a difference. I don't know what specifically made that change, but I did change, and I believe it was for the better. I have a sense of clarity now and a calm confidence that I never knew existed inside of me. My decision making is much clearer, better, and it's so easy for me to make really hard decisions now concerning who I am and what I enjoy doing. And it's almost like I've uncovered a new side of myself that I had been either repressing or didn't know about for years. And it was, I can't say this, but it was truly a journey of discovery deep down inside of me, which was interesting. Yeah.
It sounds like Bill Wester unfolded as the landscape of Africa unfolded.
Yeah, you definitely get some type of energy from the people and the landscape and the fact that you might be eaten, you know? There's something to that. I don't know what it is, but it makes you feel... I think we go through our lives very protected, and we're not really out there. So this is a chance for you to get out there and really experience life.
And when you say you could be eaten, is that a colorful exaggeration for comic relief, or is that actually true?
It's actually true. I mean, there are several situations where, you know, as you're riding on a motorcycle, you're pretty much exposed to the elements and to the animals. And there were several situations where we were on 100 or 200 kilometer dirt road, and there were several times when, you know, we were warned not to get off and sit under trees and wait or take a drink because there are lions in the area, and you don't know if they're going to decide to have you as a snack. The simple fact is that lions sleep during the day and they hunt at night. So we were riding during the day, so we were okay pretty much, but there are pit vipers and snakes and all kinds of things there that can harm you. So you have to be very alert and awake.
Yeah.
And it's not like you don't want to stop. You can stop. Just stop in a group and make yourself known.
So what I'm hearing from you is to be respectful to the land where you are and use your common sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And I don't know if we really have to do that very often because we're never part of the food chain.
Good point.
Right.
Good point. Yeah. Now, Bill, when you were traveling across Africa, you were going through a shift because the person who arrived back and the person who left are two different people. Were you aware that you were shifting?
I think so. I mean, I think I became a lot more present, that's for sure. There are great books that I'd read about being in the present, and that really helped me because I was more aware that that was occurring and that the present was coming out of me. You know, I was really cut off communication-wise from anything that I had in my past, in my present, and was in part with a new group of friends, fellow adventurers, new challenges, and trying to stay alive, be alert, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Having to make my own decisions on the speed that I went, the risks that I took, and knowing that there were no insurance policies or layers to protect me. And really, on a dirt road in Africa, you can go as fast as you want to go. And that in itself shows the decisions you make are directly related to your well-being.
So it's a direct cause and effect right in the moment. Zoom, zoom. Can you remember any of the books?
Yeah, I can. I think Life in the Now or something like that. I have to look it up.
Okay.
But I'll look it up while we're talking. But yeah,
great
books about having more flow experiences, life experiences where you're not distracted, living in the now. Those are all things that you could work on. I mean, that helped me a lot.
As you went along in Africa, you stopped thinking about the past and the present and the future and started to experience yourself fully present, alive, and engaged. Do you understand what was the catalyst for that shift?
It goes back to this thing we just talked about, right, where we discussed about living in the now, making decisions that affect you immediately. I think you really nailed it when you talk about being alive, present, and engaged. And what it does is it allows you to realize that you can live in the present and not worry about the past or worry about things that are going to happen in your future. And if you just deal with what's in front of you right now, it brings this sense of calmness and happiness deep inside you.
I know when I'm working with clients sometimes, I look at their life force energy, and I look at it in the terms that you had described. I look at the past, I look at the present, and I look at the future. Sometimes when a person is in front of me, I see their life force energy basically just stagnating in the past or wallowing in the past. It's not an empowering place to be. And then sometimes I see people and their life force energy is running down the road. It's like, come on back here. And that also is a destabilizing and non-productive place to be. And I look at the person and then I see how much of their life force energy is fully present. And that is the energy zone where there's power. So it's interesting that we're both experiencing or we're aware of the same thing, but in two different contexts.
Yeah, I just pulled up that book, Eckhart Tolle.
Oh, The Power of Now?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent, excellent. That's a wonderful, wonderful book. So thank you for sharing that. Bill, when you were away and then you came back, you said that you received the gift of clarity. Now, lots of people are busy, 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 and they're distracted, and they feel unclear. I always call it your filter. How clean is your filter? Can you give our listeners an example of how that clarity manifested in real terms in your life?
Sure. I can give you several examples. Trip really helps you to clarify your thoughts, and it strengthened my faith in making the right choices and living my life the way I want it to be, rather than maybe conforming to how social norms choose it to be. You know, we're under a lot of pressure to keep up with the Joneses and other things like that. And I think that maybe sometimes we are not meant to fit in those exact examples that people are setting for us. So examples include really discovering that for me to be happy, I needed to be out there and that I needed to always have an adventurous spirit, but never fully embraced it in the past. So I made some life choices about the people that are around me, people that are my friends, my lovers, and my mentors. And I have made the conscious choice to cut all negativity out of my life. And I think that is a vague statement, but it means so much. Life is so precious. And there shouldn't, you know, you have to be happy deep inside to be fulfilled by life. And I think that negativity really can take away from that. And so you have to surround yourself with people that are positive and accept you for who you are. And anybody that doesn't accept you for the person that you are, I don't think you should try to be around them very much. And so those are the kind of things that I made. If you want concrete examples, I got back and broke up with my girlfriend. So that probably had something to do with it.
energy? What would be an example of negative energy?
Wow, I don't want to sound like a record or anything, but people that complain a lot. Oh, poor me, this happened to me, and oh gosh, I don't have enough money for this, and I can't live this lifestyle. It's not other people's problems to deal with your problems, it's your problem, right? So, you know, you have to take actions to make your life better, and how can you do that? And that's, I guess, that clarity that's come out, is how do we help each other to make those good choices in life?
Yeah.
So that you eventually can be a happy person.
Sounds like you've made the conscious choice to shift your conversation, because a lot of people go through their day, and if they really stood back to look at it, they'd realize that I'm really not talking about what my heart wants to talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm driven by habit or stress
or social norms.
Or social norms. So what I'm hearing from you is that you decided this is draining me, this is not making me happy, X, Y, Z, so I'm going to actively shift that conversation into a realm where it is supporting me and it is making me happy. Does that sound fair?
Absolutely.
Now, when you made that conscious choice and as you're living it now, how does it feel?
Well, it feels great. I mean, it sometimes feels scary because you might feel lonely or you might feel that you don't have that drama that you feed off of. I think that a lot of people feed off of the wrong type of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have that inner strength to be able to accept that maybe to be able to get away from something, you need to cut it out or do something with your life different. And so it's hard.
Well, it's a stage. And I remember someone very wise said to me, in order to do energy work, you need to learn to stand alone, not be lonely, but to stand alone. And when I'm hearing you talk, it sounds like you're in that stage.
Yeah, great point, great point.
Yeah.
I mean, even this weekend when I went away to the beach and you know, all my friends were there. And I said, guys, I'm going to just go away and ride along the beach for a little while. And it was great. I was like, and they were like, oh, you're going to be okay by yourself. Yeah, I'll be fine. I rode 10,000 kilometers across Africa. I think I can, you know, beach here in California. So, yeah, being able to stand alone, it's a big step.
With your Silicon Valley body rhythms and mind rhythms and work rhythms, did you find that they started to disintegrate as you went across Africa? What I'm really asking is, because those patterns and those energies were no longer relevant in the new context you were in, and new rhythms that were related to nature and being in the moment started to come in, did you find that your body responded to that?
I felt very energized when the energy started to shift within me. So from that perspective, having much more energy helped me to realize something was happening deep inside me. I didn't quite understand why I was waking up every morning at 6 o'clock when the sun was coming up. And no matter how late I slept in, you know, I would still wake up. To feel the energy of Africa is one of freedom, spirit, life, and adventure. Making your own decisions and dealing with the repercussions of those decisions. It makes you feel so alive when you walk out of your tent for breakfast and you run into a large baboon or an elephant that you never knew would be there, and he's quiet and he's looking at you and you're looking at him, and you have kind of the Mexican standoff. It's not a theme park ride, you know, it's real. That guy was looking for something to eat, and the bush ahead above your tent was what he wanted to eat. Now, everything in Africa has an energy and a passion for life, because everything is struggling and trying to survive, and nothing is floating through life. One thing you'll learn if you go to Africa is that everything, and I mean everything, tries to kill you. The trees, to the bushes, to the animals, everything has horns and spines and spikes and thorns and some poison here and there. It's truly an amazing and beautiful at the same time, but you have to respect it, you know, because it really is just that next level. You can see it when you look at the animals and how alive they are. It's not like you go to a cow farm here in the United States and the cows just could care less whether you're there or not. You know, the animals there are alert. They wake, they see you, and they stand up and look at you. In fact, you know, some of the buffaloes are quite aggressive. So you really have to respect things. I think the energy came from that, and I think also the unknown, of seeing places that you never even dreamed of being able to see before. And the people, they're so warm and friendly. I think all of that contributed to that shift.
When you were saying that the environment tries to kill you, what came in as a source of inspiration for me is that the thorns are helping you hone your skills, hone those skills you're going to need to be able to survive and thrive in this environment.
Yeah. I mean, it's just surprising. You know, I don't know if you've heard of acacia tree or those type of bushes. They're, you know, they have thorns on them that are 2 or 3 inches long, you know, and you don't see them until you get closer and you're like, whoa, okay. You know?
I'm soft and that's hard. Oops.
Exactly. Make sure I don't run into that in the middle of the night when I go to the restroom, right?
When we talked a little bit earlier, you said something to me that really stuck in my mind, and I'm going to paraphrase it if I may. You said to me, I'm not the guy who was carried out on a stretcher, and I'm not the guy who finished without a scratch, but I am the guy who finished the 6-week course after wiping out 7 times, and I'm okay with that. To me, it seemed that that was a game-changing moment. What did you realize?
Well, I think I realized that everyone goes through life at their own pace. I know some people go out in a bang and then do a lot of healing to make up for it. Others take more chances and just enjoy life as much as you can without killing yourself. And yet others are, like you said, simply perfect, and they strive for that perfection. And they get quite, I can say, frazzled if they don't make that perfection happen. So I think for me, it was a great realization that I was tough enough to take a few spills, get up, carry on without worry, and don't worry about what was around the next corner, because no matter what, you'll figure it out. And the important thing to remember is to take your time and enjoy the journey. Life is definitely not about the destination. It's all about the journey.
When you spoke those words to me, I had a vision of Bill Wester being introduced to Bill Wester, shaking. You were shaking your own hand and smiling at yourself.
Yeah.
Like, Bill Wester, let me introduce you to Bill Wester. Hey, I like this guy.
Yeah. he's a lot better than I thought he was.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about was freedom, and you brought this up a little bit earlier. You shared that this trip freed you up. So what I'd like to know, and I'm sure our listeners are very curious to know about this, what did you feel free from, and how do you feel when you're in that free zone?
Well, you can definitely be free in Africa. It freed my mind to be able to think in more open and unrestricted ways, to open myself up for possibilities that possibly never had been there before. It freed my body to be able to adapt when there was no hot water, no air conditioning, no heat. And, you know, Africa has a level of chaos that needs some type of improvisational nature. You just have to figure it out. And I'll put that in quotes, figure it out, you know, and do without fear of falling or dying or hurting yourself. And that makes the human being come alive. It allows you to feel so good about your accomplishments and really helps you to love life and the world that surrounds us, because you made it, right? Every day you would come in and you're like, wow, I just did that. And
yeah. That
was really hard. And I'm here now, and it's beautiful, and it's warm and comfortable, and I'm having a beer, or I'm having a drink, or just drinking a bunch of water at the jumping in the pool. You know, just a cold shock of being in water, you know, and you don't appreciate it. And that's what that freedom gives you, is that choice of making your own decisions, dealing with the repercussions, and enjoying the fact that you made those decisions and saying, okay, that was the right decision for me, and I feel good with that.
It sounds like you were testing your mettle every day.
Yeah, every day. You're testing yourself, you're testing your mettle, you're making decisions, and you're testing whether those decisions are the right decisions for you. And then you learn from them quickly.
If someone's listening and they're feeling very captivated and inspired, basically what you're talking about, they're ready for. They're feeling this tug of adventure. but they're very hesitant to take a leap of faith. And how that's manifesting itself is they're making excuses. Like one great excuse for many, many people is, oh, I'll do that when I retire. Or, oh, I will do this when it's my honeymoon. Or, oh, I'll do this when I have enough money. And it stems from a fear or an illusion of safety or maybe misplaced responsibility. How does that shake out for you? Where did you put that?
Okay, so let's try and figure this out. How many times have I been told that I would die in Africa?
Okay.
That I would be held ransom, that I would be unhappy, that I would be hungry, that I would be thirsty, that I would be dirty, that the people would be mean, they would try to hurt me. All of those negative thoughts. That was the first thing you say when you say, I'm going to Africa. And I'm like, oh, that's a dangerous place. Yes, all of those things could have happened, I guess. But there's one crucial key to the successful travel around the world and taking that leap. And that is smile, interact, love the people you meet, enjoy their company, enjoy who they are, and what they bring, even if they're people of no stature, no wealth, they still have a story. Mm-hmm. And often it's a wonderful one. When you stop and approach them or they approach you, smile, wave, say hi, and be warm. Try hard to understand what they are interested in as you are in understanding what you're interested in them, right? You may see their shirt or something, and they may see your motorcycle, and they come up and they have a conversation with you about it. You know, those are the things that bring people together. It's hard to go somewhere where you've never been with people that you've never met. Maybe they don't even speak your language and understand that you're alone. But the key is don't be afraid. People are still people. They're full of stories, full of adventure, full of love to meet others. I have to say, embrace it, enjoy it, and love it. This is life. And if you're worried about going on these trips, then you're never going to live what I call life in all caps. You know, you can say life in lowercase. This is life in all capitals. And we all do have these huge responsibilities that we create for ourselves, our families, our children, our loved ones. But it comes to the point where you have to go and say, I need to find out what makes me happy inside. If that adventure thing is tugging on you and you need to do it, you just have to go and do it. You know, you'll be such a better person when you come back. It's well worth anyone that's there with you to say, let him go or let her go and or take them with you. But please understand that maybe sometimes you have to be alone to be able to understand who you are.
I can relate to what you're saying, and I wanted to acknowledge my dad because one message he always gave me was, go out and see the world. Go, go, go. I come from a small coal mining town, and that permission as a young woman or as a teenager to go and see the world was the greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts that he could give me. And I'm sure that our listeners can also provide that gift to their children, to their friends, just to experience life from a non-fear perspective, to go for it. And
yep.
Then the other thing I thought about as you were talking is I went to South America, and I can relate to this part about going to Africa. You're going to be hurt, or you're going to be hungry or cold, because the first thing people would say to me is, you can't go, you don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And that was the last thing on my mind. And what I would simply say is, if two people want to communicate, two people will communicate. And it happened exactly like that. You use your hands, you can use pictures.
Yeah.
But if the intention is to communicate with another human being, we have so many tools at our disposal that we will communicate. So once again, the person was projecting a fear onto a situation that was an illusion that didn't really exist.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Now, let's move on to another area. You've been to Africa, you had this experience, you met like-minded people. Has that helped you define or come to grips with the characteristics of the people you'd like to attract into your life?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that most of all, I'm looking for people that are accepting mm-hmm. and that allow people to pursue their life interests and do not judge them in any way. Allowing the people around you to be themselves gives them the freedom to be happy, allowing you to be happy. Where do I find these people? I think is definitely found a few of them on my last trip.
Okay, and what do they look like? How would you describe them if you were going to use three or four words to describe their energy or describe their characteristics? What would they be?
Oh, I think they're just positive people that look at life from the same perspective that you or I would, in that it's an oyster.
Okay.
You know, and let's go and figure out where we're going to go next. You know, to nourish and sustain those relationships is going to be hard, you know, but the people that I've met on the trip, we are keeping each other close. You know, we're using mechanisms like Facebook, email, instant messaging, Skype. I mean, I love the iMessage feature on the iPhone, mm-hmm. so I can go and text my buddies in Australia and the UK, and they respond, and it doesn't cost us anything. I love that. Data plans are great. Africa has great coverage for cell phones. If everybody's worried about that, there's no problems there. You know, like you said, I mean, the type of people that I want to be around me are positive, have positive energy, are self-confident, are venturous, and that accept me for who I am, both the pluses and the minuses, let's say that, right?
How does it feel to be accepted carte blanche?
I think it's freeing because it lets you be able to say what's on your mind. Really, you don't have to cover it up. You don't have to say it in a vulgar way or in a rude way, but you can just say, hey, look at that dog. It's got funny spots. And you don't have to worry about the fact that they're like, why are you making fun of the dog? Well, I'm not. I was just interested in the dog that had funny spots. You know?
That's how I express myself.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just making an analogy there. But the simple fact is that I think that we repress a lot of our outward thoughts, because when, you know, if you're three and you're a baby or a child, you're not afraid to express any thoughts that you have. But as we grow older, we get into these social norms and things like that, and it's not okay for you to go to your wife and say, honey, I want to go to Africa. She's like, what, you don't love me? Oh, you know, and you're like, no, I want to go to Africa, you know, and so we repress that. I guess that's the thing. So I want to surround myself with people that won't repress my thinking and will allow me to open up.
And celebrate you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Celebrate you.
Wow, you know, that was really cool what you did. And I don't know anybody else that's been on a motorcycle across Africa. And let's enjoy the fact that you did that. And tell me more about Africa. You know, I had somebody say that over the weekend. They said, tell me more about Africa. I want to know more. What else can I gain from your experience?
Okay. How are you keeping Africa alive, even though you're immersed again in Silicon Valley?
Oh, well, this interview is definitely one way. It's asking about it,
mm-hmm.
this type of thing. I thought about possibly writing a book or a journal, or maybe a travel tour leader over in Africa. I don't know yet, but I know that every day I wake up, I remember the trip and what it was. I wear a couple of simple bracelets that cost like nothing.
Yeah.
That remind me. One of them is United Against Malaria, and the other one is just a simple bracelet I bought on the lake in Malawi from a local. His name was Friday, and I thought it was funny because he said that was the day he was born.
Nice.
So it was really cute. And so I keep those just to remind me that, hey, I've done something special, and, you know, having it on your wrist is a way of a constant reminder. And, you know, I've been working on some ideas with my friends that I met over there as well. So we'll see what turns out.
Do you feel that you're self-aware enough to know that if you start slipping back into old patterns, that you'll be able to catch yourself before you dive in too deep?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that I've already caught myself.
Okay.
Two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a minute because you don't realize it at first. And you're like, whoa, hey, you're slipping back. Get back out of there. You know, you have to, you know, drag yourself by, you know, by the collar or something and say, wait, 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 wait. No, no, no. You're better than this. You mm-hmm. need to need to go and do this right. So definitely trying very hard to keep myself on the right track, surrounding myself with the right type of people, surrounding myself with friends that are positive in nature and that are supportive of my changes. All good things.
So it sounds like a little bit of immersion in African cultures at regular intervals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing I will try to do is maybe read some more books from other people's experiences in Africa as well and see how they reflected on it.
Yes. Oh, my heavens, kindred spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe a blog even.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe some people can send you in names, suggested names for the blog.
That would be great. I would love that.
And Motorcycle Diaries has already been put into the movie, right?
Yes.
The big question on my mind is, when are you going back to Africa?
I definitely will be going back. It'll probably be next year. Well, I think about how much I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about how wonderful it is. I want to see the wet season. That my trip was in the dry season. And I'd like to do it in a Land Rover or a Land Cruiser, like a self-drive adventure. Now that I know enough about Africa and I know enough people there to help me, I'd like to do it on a stricter budget and write it about my trip. So I need to find an easy way to document my journeys. And then work on figuring out how to get the time off to do what I want. And those are difficult decisions, right? At the end of this year, I'll start putting together an itinerary and trying to figure out what other destinations I want to go and what I want to see. And then we'll figure out if I can convince anybody else to go with me.
Yeah, well, I am sure that you've wet a few whistles out there. If someone is absolutely engaged in what you're talking about and they'd like to have a conversation with you, is that possible?
They can email me bill.wester@gmail.com or go find me on LinkedIn or Facebook, and we can definitely have a conversation. I can help. I mean, I know all the locations, every place you can go and get the things you need, and I can help you with that itinerary or whatever you need to. If you have specific questions, I can always answer those as well. But just remember, Africa is a much friendlier and warm place than you think it would be. And it's literally like living in a giant zoo. You will see more animals than you've ever seen in your life. And it's just amazing.
Now, Bill, will you come back and let us know how you're doing after your next trip or as you're planning, as things come together?
If you'd love to have, I would love.
I'd love to have you, yes.
I really want to make this change in my life. So, you know, you being in my life is very important as well to help me to get this through and really change into the adventurous spirit that I know is deep inside me. And so, you know, yeah, I need all the help I can get from both sides. The encouragement is always welcome.
Okay. And thank you for being so honest and for sharing with such an open heart. So once again, I'm going to ask Bill to share his email address.
It's bill.wester@gmail.com, and my last name is spelled W-E-S-T-E-R.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a great day in Silicon Valley, and we'll look forward to hearing more.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Okay, thanks. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
We hope you're enjoying this broadcast of Firefly Willows LIVE on Blog Talk Radio. For information on Firefly Willows, please explore our website, fireflywillows.com, or like us on Facebook.
Many thanks to Bill Wester for being on the show today, and we'll look forward to catching up with him again to hear more about his inner and outer travels. This is your host, Mildred Lynn McDonald, and you're listening to Healing Conversations live from Los Altos, California. We hope that you're enjoying the show today. In a few minutes, we'll be off to Northern California to connect with Caressa DeRosa for a fascinating tour of the inner world. As shared earlier, Caressa is a natural-born psychic who uses her intuitive gifts to help people remember who they really are, Through the sacred language of truth and humor, metaphors and images, auras and chakras, past lives and future self. She'll also be sharing what it's like to walk through this world with her intuitive gifts and how she receives her inspiration and impressions. Caressa is also making herself available to our listeners, so if you'd like a live reading, please call our studio at 646-716-5510, and we'll do our best to make sure we answer as many requests as possible. So get in the line early. And now, let's welcome the fun and talented Caressa DeRosa.
Good morning.
Caressa.
Yes.
You're there.
I am. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And what is the weather like?
It's absolutely gorgeous in Sebastopol.
And today I wanted to share, we have many, many people in our studio who would love to talk to you.
Oh, that's fabulous.
I'm watching the switchboard light up as we speak.
Oh, that's great. So am I. I'm lit up.
Yes, exactly. And I want to thank all of our listeners and the people who have called in to speak to Caressa. We're going to do our very best today to make sure that we hear from everybody. So what I'd like to suggest is when we contact you in the studio, if you'd be kind enough to share just your first name and where you're calling in from, and then we'll be able to share Caressa's wonderful gift with as many people as we can today. How does that sound, Caressa?
That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
And so I just want to thank everyone ahead of time as well. We will try to get to you.
Yes, exactly. So before we move into all of the people waiting in line, we do have an opportunity to share with our listeners a little bit about what it's like to operate in this world as an intuitive. So what I'd love to ask you is, and this is a question that people often ask me, how does your intuitive gift work?
The main reason for my being a professional psychic and doing the work that I do is to connect myself and others to their dreams and life purposes and greater give them greater meaning in their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in life there's so many twists and turns, and how we relate to those experiences, I believe, is where we have access to personal power and create who we are. So in saying that, I'm very clairvoyant, and someone, Lori, had emailed me the question about the difference between all of the clairvoyant terms, and I call it the four clairs. And I'm very clairvoyant, so I have clear seeing abilities. Often it's 360-degree panoramic, just as if I were watching a movie about who you are. So I see myself in the honored position of being a sacred translator, looking at your soul and giving interpretation to the metaphors and the images and the snapshots that I see dancing around in your chakra or aura field.
Okay. And how long have you been providing intuitive guidance?
I began in my early 20s. Friends would come to me when I was studying at the university and ask for readings, ask for advice, ask for guidance, and I also had experiences of people who, through the grapevine, coming to me and using me for metaphysical projects or experiments.
Okay.
And
okay.
one of my favorite stories, and I'm still very good friends with Peter, is that a stranger came to me, and his name was Peter, and he wanted to do an experiment with me because he'd heard a rumor that I was psychic. And so he did this experiment, and he disappeared. I didn't see him for another 10 years, and I went with a friend to Guaymas restaurant in Tiburon, and she said, "That man keeps staring at you." And he was right behind me, and I turned around, and we recognized each other, and I said, "Wow, I finally have the opportunity to ask you the question, Peter. What were the results of the test?" And he said,
You're very psychic. That was, yeah. So one of the other things I do is I ask for symbols. So right away, I'm looking into you as a soul, which psychic actually means as of soul. And so everyone is psychic. We just have different degrees. And I operate also with the other three clairs of being able to have clear hearing. I listen to spirit, clear knowing, cognizance, and clear sentience, clear feeling, which I'm an empath. And I actually use that tool a bit. So when I'm speaking to someone in session or at a party sometimes, right, when people say, oh, you're mm-hmm. a psychic, can you answer this question, I feel a little bit of what they're going through, and I'll ask my guides to just give me a little bit of that feeling very temporarily so that I feel very connected to, they're experiencing some digestion issues. I'll have maybe a stomach ache for a minute, and then I'll let it go and release it and trust that also it's a ripple in the pond, that it will also occur for them. And it's healing goes both ways, that they too will receive a healing from this. And it gives me the information, for instance, that they're working on third chakra, which is in the solar plexus. And then I'll be using my clairvoyance to tune in and asking my guides to help me with symbols. And I use traditional symbols such as a key or a circle for wholeness. I have a gambit of them. And then I use untraditional ones, which are always fun. I just ask for a symbol. It might be an onion, which is, you know, the unpeeling. And as you're unpeeling to the core issues, you're crying and you're laughing and all of that.
Oh, my mm-hmm. heavens. Well, I have more questions to ask, but I'd like to invite our caller at 707-566, that area code. We're going to bring them live in a second. And as I said to our callers, if you'd be kind enough just to give Caressa your name and your location. So hold on 1 second. Hello there. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. Would you like to speak with Caressa?
Yes, I would.
You would. And if you could just share your first name and your location, that would be wonderful.
Yes, my name is Susan, and I'm located in Santa Rosa.
Okay. And Susan, do you have one question for Caressa?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm ready in my life to find a wonderful man. I'm wondering if she sees anything around that coming in the near future. I'm making a trip to Switzerland, and I'm wondering if possibly he might be there or just what she sees around that.
Okay, Chris, I'll hand the ball over to you.
Yes. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Caressa.
How are you?
Oh,
I'm excited for you going to Switzerland. That is amazing. How long will you be there?
About 2 weeks.
Oh, that's great. So the lights are green.
Whoa.
The first image that I'm seeing is the lights are green. It's you are on your spiritual path. So all of the things that you are doing currently are assisting you and helping you to bring in your soulmate. And some of what's happening is you're showing me how you're taking care of yourself more. It's an image of as if you were wrapping yourself in a spa treatment with towels it's an interesting image of self-care. And from that vibration of self-care, you will be attracting someone who honors the goddess within yourself. And that sounds like a great affirmation for you to be saying to yourself, I am attracting a soulmate that honors the goddess within me. And so the vibration you have for attracting a mate is very, very high, and you're releasing, there's still, I would, you know, in looking at release of energies of past relationships, there's still some healing to be done, and this healing can be done, and I want to validate you. You can do that healing with a partner. You don't have to wait until you're completely, cleansed of any of the other emotions that you've had, guilt, yes, coming up with those relationships, because love heals, and especially when we're in relationship, it's a time and place where we can heal even at a quicker pace if we'd like.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So well, great
that's
job.
Excellent guidance. Yeah, excellent guidance there. So Susan from Santa Rosa, how
yes.
do you feel? How do you feel about your guidance?
I feel fantastic. That was excellent. Thank you so much. I feel so much better, and great information, and that's fantastic. That's the best news I've heard in a long time.
All right. Well, you're welcome, and have a wonderful trip.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Bye now. Now, Carissa, we're going to bring in one other caller right now, and here we go. We're calling, it's the caller who's at 707-206, so we're coming into the studio for you. Hello, this is Mildred McDonald. Are you calling in for Carissa?
I am. This is Marjorie, and I'm calling from Santa Rosa.
Marjorie, well, thank you for your call, and I am going to hand you right over to Carissa.
Thank you.
Hi, Marjorie. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. Thank you so much for calling me in.
Hey, it's great.
Go ahead and state your question.
Well, my Nellie, my dog, she's been losing the use of her back legs due to myelopathy, and I think she's getting kind of close to transitioning. So I don't know what she would like us to do, and whether, you know, kind of how we'll know it's time, and whether she'd like Marcus to be present.
Yes. You're a wonderful mother to your pet, and I know there are many pet lovers out there, and we know how important our animal friends are to us. They're, of course, part of the family. They encourage us. They give us unconditional love. And so Nellie is transitioning, going in and out of her body quite a bit. Now, also that helps her with pain. Leaving the body helps us to be able to still remain in the body and move around and do things without experiencing as much pain. As humans, we do it as well. And when we experience trauma, I just want to interject that this little piece of information about trauma. When one experiences trauma, we leave the body, and then we need to knit back who we are into the body from that trauma. And trauma, which is a little bit different than what's going on with your dog, I'm going to speak to a little bit later, I hope, in the program. The second layer and second chakra of Nellie is tied into some of the pain, and it has correlation to the things that you have been going through as you take your next steps in your life. And the next steps are what you're showing me in your legs, and you're going forward. There's that feeling of sometimes we're on a treadmill and we're running, and we wonder if anything, you know, we know we're not going anywhere because we're on a treadmill, but is it working? And you're asking those questions of in your life, in your career, of stepping out more, and your body is showing you to slow down, and you're doing a great job in that. So moving forward, you're working more with the etheric realm, Marjorie, and that is really helping you to ground. And the etheric realm is the place where it's kind of the intangible. It's It's between us and the astral, our dreams. And in that realm, which is very close to the physical body, we can organize ourselves in ways in which we to help our physical body. We can have experiences in the etheric realm that we can't have in the body, and then bring it into a cellular level. It's amazing. So that being said, you are working more from putting the message and intention out and having to do less in the physical body. So that's my message, is both of you, as he's Nelly is transitioning, and in a future life for Nelly is going to be a male dog. As she's transitioning, she is going into that etheric realm as well and beginning to create next life, and you are in this lifetime creating your next chapter. So there's a parallel between the two of you, and she's assisting you on your path as a healer, having brought you so much love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when she does pass, I see everyone there in celebration of her life, and that you can be, it's a door opening in your fourth chakra to having another level of compassion and gratitude and service to others to be opened.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What a beautiful reading. My heavens, that's wonderful. Mm.
Well, I often think of things as, too, of inspiration and desperation. I've been playing with this theme of creating from inspiration. And in creating an inspiration, I need to let go of a lot of things. Inspiration is a slice of heaven, and you said the word heavenly. And when our beloved pets do bring us a slice of heaven.
Well, that's true. And we are so connected, and I don't think there's any mistake that I've had knee surgery and all of that, and that's been going on. I've been limping as Nellie's been limping, and,
yeah.
We live ourselves through.
Excellent, Marjorie. So thank you for calling in. So this is Marjorie from Santa Rosa, and you were asking about Nellie, and Caressa gave you some beautiful guidance. And you have a good day in Santa Rosa today, Marjorie.
Thanks so much. Thank you for letting me be on the program.
You're welcome. Our pleasure. Now, Caressa, bye now.
Bye.
Caressa, I'm going to bring on one other person, and then I have a few questions to ask you. How does that sound?
Wonderful. And I just want to thank you so much, Mildred, and that I kept thinking about healing conversations and how beautiful that is. And if we set the intention in our daily life to have healing conversations as we go throughout sometimes the mundane things, the mundane world, that little miracles can occur. And so the connections that we make with people, and it was said before in the program today about the connections with people, then everyone has a story. And if you walk in the world with the intention of creating magic and miracles, and with an open heart, I'm amazed of how many people approach me and just tell me their life stories. Such a beautiful gift.
Yeah. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to invite our listener 805-564 to talk to Caressa. So hold on 1 second while I bring you online. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. Can you would like to speak to Caressa, I bet.
I would, very much.
Okay. And if you could share your name and where you're from, that would be wonderful.
My name's Maureen, and I'm from Santa Barbara, California.
Santa Barbara. All right. Caressa, she's all yours.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
I'm good, Caressa. I'm Judy's sister, by the way.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, my question to you is, I wonder if you have any information about what is going on in my I'm having a lot of changes and shifts, which I feel are positive, in my pelvic sacral area of my body. And I'm wondering what emotional issues they're connected to, or the situation is connected to, and if it has anything to do with what's going on in my life right now.
All righty. Well, Maureen, welcome. And I see in your third chakra, which is at the solar plexus, a high degree of cleansing, that you are showing me the image of spring cleaning and letting go as well. You're showing me a symbol of a stapler. And so I'm asking what that means, and that something about, oh, this is it, your ability to, you're trying to organize your life in such a way that's not working for you. So there, it's sometimes I look at, I'm looking at energies that are working for you and what is working for you and what is not working for you. So this is an, this is something that you've adopted that's not a tool that's working well for you. And it also is creating, you're showing me now, throwing out the stapler idea, that you've been operating in a more linear fashion and your nature is more circular. So it's time to set down certain things that you have done. That's exactly what you're showing me. It's like putting down certain things and thinking in new ways. And there are actually more your organic ways of creating. So when I look at what's working for you, there's the fifth chakra. You have an amazing ability to communicate. So I see strong managerial abilities. And yet you're wanting to have more personal communication, you're showing me, that it would be better for you to have these are pictures you're showing me. You're showing me that you would like to be having more heartful and meaningful interactions with people, and that it would be a beautiful thing to be doing it in your work.
Wow. Okay.
So
okay.
There's a grief that I want to address, because you are releasing this grief. And one of the things that I'm seeing in your is a comparison. Your comparison is an interesting thing. It helps us discern. However, sometimes it puts us in competition with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So letting go of trying to do anything or be anything like anyone else. There's only one of you. You celebrate you, and just notice when your mind, so it's the next step for you, just notice when your mind begins to flip-flop of, and we do learn from others, and others are our role models. However, we want to bring the attention back to ourselves and empower ourselves. Another next step for you, really powerful, is when I am exploring in my inner world over many years, when I want access to the most power, I go to my inner child. And my inner child, and I've seen it in most people, lives in the fourth chakra. And in the fourth chakra, there's love and there's fear. And it can become dualistic. And so first, you're showing me, gleeful, joyful, I'm a child. Accessing that inner child is going to give you a lot of information about your next steps and how to be more in play instead of work mode.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wow, that's a lot. Great.
Yes.
Thank you. That gives me an awful lot to think about. That was like a lot of stuff. That's great.
So how do you feel after that guidance?
I feel kind of sad.
Okay.
But but just I think it was, I think I just connected to the grief when you said the word grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just passing through. So I just have like a little bit of a feeling of that. But mostly what I related to is the, you know, when you said the fifth chakra comes up, communication and managerial, I feel like that's been my problem, is that my strengths aren't what I really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had like this conflict. And so it is true that I want a more heartfelt, personal connection, but I also want to play. So I haven't quite figured out how to make those two be together.
Well, good luck in that, and certainly you can have me, you know, follow through, and we can work together on that. I would like that
Great.
Very much.
Great. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Yeah. And Maureen from Santa
yes.
Barbara, thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it, your call.
Thank you so
have
much.
Have a good
thanks
Bye.
So much
You're
for
welcome.
Your honesty, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye now. Now, Carissa, I mm-hmm. wanted to ask this question because a lot of people have asked me to ask you this question. What? Here we go. Question. What are the
well,
three
you know,
most?
It's so funny that yeah. as I was asking friends and clients for questions, I realized we could do a whole reading just on getting to the question. And then as some, this morning I'm waking up at 5 a.m. and the questions are flying on, and I emailed you saying, perhaps we should do a look at the energy of procrastination.
Oh, yes.
It's just
yes,
so funny. Yes. Yes.
Now, what, from your experience speaking with clients, what are the three most common questions that you get? What are people most interested in?
Speaking to loved ones that have passed.
Mm-hmm.
As a trance medium and the abilities with clairaudience, I hear names and can speak to them. And that ability also goes to birth. So I also work with women who want to become pregnant in their families.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm speaking to spirits, so there are spirits that would like to become babies. So I'm speaking to baby spirits. And the first experience I had that I remember as being a trans medium was a little scary. I was in the car with my mom was driving. I was 10. And we're just going along the road, and we're talking, and I look over, and it's not her. Another being had embodied her, and it was a man, and for 1 second, I thought I was being kidnapped. It was a strange feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I looked, and I just went, no, that's it's mom, and I just saw this other being, and I just said, could you please leave, and it did, and we're back to just being mom and her daughter in the car. And so I realized that without knowing quite how to explain it, that this is an occurrence, and we do leave our bodies when we go to sleep at night and dream. So I have questions around the key questions are communication with loved ones that have gone beyond, as well as soulmate questions, whether one is attracting a soulmate. And I always like to put it in positive frameworks of when someone wants something, to say, I am creating a soulmate coming to me, or I am creating my new home. So three things occur with that. You know, we put it in the present time and draw it to us. We create the vibration of it's already occurring. And also that we visualize it. And by visualization, it's able to manifest more quickly. And we're activating, which is, that's really important, activating what we want. So I help people with those kinds of questions of bridging into their current reality, into future self, And then I've actually helped people with psychic trance work of accessing future self and taking the steps backwards to see exactly how did they get there. So very practical. So, and so many questions are attracting soulmate, attracting a new home, attracting a great job, and then how do I get there?
And, so I just wanted to just interrupt just for a second because this is absolutely fascinating. I wanted to let our caller 707-489 know that they're next. And then what my pressing question is, as I'm listening to you, and I feel I'm speaking for our listening audience also, is how do you manage all of this stimulation or energy or messages, all of this information that's coming in that your normal average person may or may not have access to? Carissa, who do you need to be to manage this?
Well, I meditate. I've meditated since I was a child, actually. I just didn't call it meditation. I learned Buddhist meditation when I was 17, and I did study with Trungpa Rinpoche when I was 18. And the one word that from all of that tradition I walked away with is practice. And I realize everything is a practice. And so it helps. I don't get as stuck into perfection. And that's one way I manage my world. And there was a time in my life where I was very perfection meant a lot to me, and I was trying to be perfect, and it got tied into image of myself, and it was a very trying time. And so now it's like, wow, I just try to be present in every moment and realize that this is a practice. And just like all good things we want in life, it takes practice to make it easy. That's, it's just becoming easier and easier as I go along. And meditation is so important because then I'm allowing myself to just be in the point of stillness in the mind. And this is important, a tool that I'm, stillness in the mind in order to not merge with that which is the object or the object of attention or subject or the person in front of me. And that doesn't, I still have compassion. I just want to have separate boundaries so that I'm more able to help them clearly.
Okay, so to me it sounds like meditation helps you keep your filter clean.
Absolutely.
So when you're showing up, you're showing up in an objective, although compassionate and kind way, and that's the best way that you can serve whomever's in front of you. That's what it's saying. That's what I'm hearing. So
that was perfectly
that,
put. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. With that, Carissa, I'm going to bring in 707-489 and welcome them to the show. So hold on 1 second here. Hello there.
Hello, this is Lori.
Lori, and where are you from?
I'm in Cloverdale, California.
Cloverdale. I believe that I see Cloverdale written on milk. Would that be correct?
You know, I haven't really... Yes, you're correct.
I didn't expect that.
Clover dairy products.
Well, I don't.
But that's unrelated to my question.
Okay then. Well, I'm going to not take any more of your time, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak with Carissa. So off you go.
Thank you. Hi, Carissa.
Hi, Lori.
Hey, I have kind of two questions, if it's okay. And the first question has to do with a new career path that really feels like, you know, it's a very service-related career. I recently retired from a job that I was in for 24 years that was very unfulfilling. So this new career path, I mean, it's moving very slowly, but it really feels like I'm on the right path. And I know that you're all about, you know, people, you know, finding their, you know, source, you know, in life, what you're supposed to be doing. And so I wanted to ask about, you know, what you may see around that. Am I blocking it somehow? Or is it just going to move slowly and I should just be patient and wait? And then, of course, the second question is, I'm creating this soulmate, and he's coming to me, but I have a question about the timing. It's like, will it be sometime this year, next year?
Right. Well, great questions, Lori. And sometimes I look at colors to help with discerning the vibrations of what's happening. You're showing me some blues. It's a peaceful day. You're sailing on your small yacht, and the information that I heard was that this is a time of rest for you. And
okay,
in rest, so allow yourself the time, and that things will come to you in a timely fashion when it's time, because the phase that you're going through is a lot of integration of from your original blueprint coming and being born, which was programmed out through the stress of the job that you had done for so long. And simply, it's always there. It's just dormant. So you're very grounded right now and at peace. And from that is a great platform, for creating from inspiration. And you have shelter. You have food. You don't need to be creating from desperation. I don't actually have any judgment about creating from desperation. We all need food and shelter, and I've done plenty of creating from many of my chakras. The first chakra is how I look at desperation, being survival and what our true body needs are. You, though, are in dream realm. The lizard on the rock in the sun, resting. And from there, you're going to be bringing a lot of information. One thing I do see, though, is your passion for nutrition. And the very first thing you showed me was a pitchfork, and that is was the sense of going out into the earth and gardening and growing and farmer markets and plugging into that community. And that looks like a definite direction for you to be a resource in nutrition in some manner that gives you joy and you feel wonderful at the end of the day in doing that work, however you create that work for yourself. And soulmate is right in there digging with you. So you are creating someone who's very down home and has a lot of physical energy and is a passion for healthy life choices, and also will go into the future with you with dreams of travel. So fabulous.
Great.
He's a good looking man as well.
Right at the top of my list.
So Lori, how
do you feel?
Well, you know, it feels like validation. You know how you already sort of know, okay, this is going on. And I said to myself, business is moving slowly because you just retired. Maybe you should relax. And I think that's one of the first things that you said. So, yeah, very validating for me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Lori, thank you for calling in today. We really appreciate that. And I just wanted to let our next caller know that they're next in line. It's 408-505. So, Lori, I'm going to sign off with you. Please continue to listen to the show. And we'll hear one more caller, and then we're going to give Caressa a little 2-minute break, and we'll be back in the studio. All right, caller 408-505, are you there?
Yes.
You're here.
Hello.
Would you like
hello.
Hello. Hi. Would you like to speak with Caressa?
Yes, please.
Okay. And can you give us your name and where you're from?
I'm Vida from Mountain View.
Mountain View. Okay. Vida, you can. Caressa, are you ready for Vida?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Hi, Caressa.
Hi, Vida. You've got a lot going on. I'll go ahead and take a deep breath. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
This is a good growth. It's right now you are speaking to me, just so you know, in spirit. And just by coming, being open and opening yourself up to your question and in communication, you're giving yourself a huge healing right now.
I just want to let you know I'm very excited. And oh, I'm so sorry. Anyways,
no, no apology is necessary at all. This is peeling the onion.
No, the thing is, I know there's so many people who want to call you and talk to you, so I don't want to take their time and your time. So we are putting our life saving on a big project right now, and me and my husband, and I need to know if you're doing the right thing. This has been going on, but we need to, you know, find the papers and everything. So should we trust this person and just, you know, and I also need to know what is happening in my job, you know, situation, and do you see anything?
Hi, Vida. So just to just so I'm clear, you and your husband are involved in a large project that's been going on for a long time, and you're about to sign some papers, you know, financial support. So you're putting your heart and soul into a dream. And you're shaking at the threshold. All of us would before stepping into getting that dream into to be manifested. You're going through a tunnel right now that is a temporary stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hearing. At the end is a huge light. That project is well grounded. There is there's one question I'm looking at is trusting your instincts to who you are working with.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have a question about that,
which
you're not stating. And so my feedback to you is, gut, third chakra, solar plexus, trust your gut, trust your instincts around what your feelings are about this other, I don't know, because you haven't stated, I don't want to go too personal as well, that is your challenge and your lesson right now is to really be tuned in to only, I use a mantra in my life of only love enters.
Mm-hmm.
So then I visualize only love enters into my world, into my realm. And so any vibration, it's like, oh, what is that? If I, you know, and then I work with things. So if it's some meaning, rather than go into judgment, if I have some doubt or questions, I really look to see, is this going to support and contribute to whatever I'm up to, a project such as yourself.
Okay.
And there's a ray of sunshine coming through. The project looks fabulous.
Okay, great.
And, yeah, I hope that was helpful.
Yeah, somehow it is. But I need to know, do we need to trust this person? There's a third party we need to, I need to know, do we need to trust this person and, you know, rely on him and let him to finish the project? Do you see anything?
So there's, I think we, if you wouldn't mind, I think this is very private and personal, so we should maybe address it in a reading, and you'll
okay.
have my information,
yeah.
because this is really relating to something deep and a core issue in you.
Okay. Okay.
Yes,
Vita.
I really want to give it the time that this deserves.
Yeah. And I want to, and I'm sure Caressa will agree with me, I really want to acknowledge and honor the courage it has taken for Vita to call in to request guidance for her consideration. And for our listeners out there, when you call in sometimes or you talk to someone, it's such a big step for you. And sometimes you have an expression of that big step. Sometimes you feel joy. Sometimes you feel tears. Sometimes you feel afraid. But the main thing is to acknowledge yourself that you're really stepping into your power. And don't be afraid of a few tears. Don't be afraid of a little laughter. Don't be afraid of a little bit of fear. And just say to yourself, I've done it. I'm doing it. And know that you are entering a safe and sacred space where you can share freely as appropriate. So anything to add to that, Caressa?
Beautifully stated. That is just so beautiful.
Thank you. I think it's called the voice of experience because we've all been there.
Exactly.
Yeah, what I'd love to do is give Caressa a little tiny break. And while she's having a break, we're going to listen to The Creative Island. It's a song that was created in Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia. I'm from Cape Breton Island and a shameless promoter of Cape Breton Island. It's called, once again, The Creative Island. Listen to the words. And Caressa, you listen to the words too, and then we'll be right back. We still have a studio full of people.
Oh,
amazing.
That's fabulous.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Great. Caressa, we'll listen to the song. We'll be back shortly.
A rock and a stream. We live in a painting. The island is shaped by what the wind says. Salt of the earth is the lake at the heart of the island, portrayed by the tune played on your heartstrings. How to explain it is to feel it. If you feel it, you can hear it. You need to be here to feel it.
Caressa.
Yes.
You're back. I'm back. Did you like the song?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I love that song. Now, my question I'd like to ask you, because I get to ask questions too.
Oh, yay.
Is how does doing this work help you fulfill your life potential? Because you are giving so much to other people in a sacred and safe space. I'd love to know what you're getting out of it.
I had come in my life, I realized I have this gift, and I just didn't know what to do with it. And many, many friends had said, you have this gift, and until it became practical, trying to explain this, that I feel I can help people on their spiritual path and give greater meaning to them by giving them stepping stones and to their dreams. And when I saw that I could do that, I felt the veils unlift between who I was before and now becoming more involved as a professional psychic. The gift that it gives me back, or that every day I get to meet a hero. And Vita was a perfect example of that. The courage that you spoke to in her to step forward and share, that it's so inspiring to me. There's so many amazing, fabulous people that I get to meet and help and hear their stories and then see them transpire and transform from a little seed of a dream to something that is occurring and manifesting. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say that very well. I just, I get just so inspired by the people and the courage that it takes just to be a human being and walk this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you were talking and earlier, I was, as I heard you speak, what was coming to me as a source of inspiration is that you had to give yourself time to grow into your gift so that you could show up in a certain way to help people. And in doing that, the joy and fulfillment it brings you, it helps you too.
I do receive a healing when I am in communication with people. So at the same time that hopefully I'm helping them to receive a healing, I am receiving a healing as well.
Yeah. Very nice. Now, what I'd like to do is let our caller 707-591 let you know that you're going to be live in 2 seconds. So we'd love to know your name and where you're calling from and your question for Caressa. Here we go. We're coming to get you. Hello there. Who is this? Hello. Our caller is not there anymore, Caressa. So we'll move on. We'll move on. And for our caller at 707-591, if you decide to call back a little later, we'd love to invite you to do so. So let's go to our caller here, 707-228. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello, and who am I speaking to, please? You're live.
It's Kay.
Kay, and where are you calling from?
Sonoma.
Sonoma. And would you like to speak with Caressa today?
I would.
Okay, and you have a question?
I do.
All right. So, Caressa, here you go. I'm handing you Kay. Keep her safe.
Hi, Caressa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I just have a question. I've recently connected with somebody spiritually, energetically. He lives out of the area, and I'm just curious as to what our path might be.
Kay, you're showing me the image of two
cranes, which is exciting, of life partners, and that you're both you're together. You're flying the skies. They're the visionary powers combined between the two of you are very powerful. You match each other on the there's some feedback on my phone, so I apologize. You're matching each other at a perfect timing in sync, and that you're you both want to create some of the same things. So you're nurturing at each other in doing so. Soulmates sometimes also bring to the foreground things, emotions that need to be healed. There's some, as usual in human nature, there's some work to be done. And that's where I see you're sitting in some questions around this person. And that's just to be seen of will, you know, love between you and love for self mine out the treasures of the soul and release the things that are not in service and contributing to spiritual growth.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay.
It does.
Do you want to ask another quick question that kind of narrows it in?
I don't
know. Okay.
I don't know. No, I don't know what else. I have other questions I would like to ask you, but I'll probably, I don't know if I should ask on the air or if I should just ask you, you know, I'll meet up with you at another time.
Perfect. We'll meet up at a different time. That would be awesome. I'd really appreciate that. Great. Thanks so much, Kay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think that's I don't know if they're on. No. I don't know. It's okay.
You did a fabulous job of asking the question, Kay. And I think what happens sometimes is we ask one question and then it just it's like a ball rolling down the hill. It's, you know, it becomes, gathers up more questions.
Firefly Willows is proud to support California Animal Rescue in Santa Rosa, California. CAR is a 501c3 nonprofit rescue group dedicated to the rescue of homeless animals from county shelters and off of the streets. They combat the problem of overpopulation through diligent spaying and neutering. CAR consists of a dedicated group of volunteers who rescue animals, provide medical attention, foster them, and place them for adoption. They strive to provide a second chance for those animals that have run out of time at local shelters. For more information or ways that you can help, visit car.rescuegroups.org or like California Animal Rescue on Facebook. Meet the folks and pets of California Animal Rescue at the following locations this September. Sunday, September 8th, from noon till 3 p.m. at the Petco Adoption Event at 2765 Santa Rosa Avenue, Santa Rosa, California. Sunday, September 15th, from noon till 3 p.m. at the Petco Adoption Event at 2765 Santa Rosa Avenue, Santa Rosa, California. Saturday, September 21st, from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. at the ASL Muttstrut, a one-mile family-oriented dog walkathon and pet fair at the Rohnert Park Community Center to support the local animal shelter. And Sunday, September 22nd, from noon till 3 p.m. at the Petco Adoption Event at 2765 Santa Rosa Avenue, Santa Rosa, California.
Caressa, it's Mildred Lynn back again.
Hi, Mildred. We did lose you for a second there.
Well, there's a reason that you lost me, and my co-hosts, John and Deb Caracella and High C. Luttimers, will laugh at this, because I had myself on mute. My mic on mute. So I was having a great chat.
On conversation
myself.
with yourself.
Great conversation.
Well, that's I'm glad you said that, because I wanted to bring out one thing. One of the things I'm up to when I'm working with someone is self-talk. And the way we language things, words are so powerful. So if someone says, when will, like Dominique from Calistoga emailed a question, when will I find my new home? The first thing I would have her do is practice saying, I am finding my new home, so that it's in the positive and it is in the present moment and it's activated. So in the self-talk part, that's a powerful way of changing